Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Oh, well, hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 54, Episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist. This is where I go, yeah. For Thursday, October 25th, 2018, my name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. experimental artist, ya boy Kusama, a.k.a. Walter Bonkrite. Shout out to at Crispy Meme Donut or Christy Yamaguchi Meme or Bombing of Dresden, whatever your many usernames are for that a.k.a. And today, I am joined by my very special guest co-host, the hilarious comedian, improviser, and one of the kings of culture himself, Mr. Jacques Neal!
The presence of Jacques is Neal. The presence of Jacques is new. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of Jacques is new. The presence of Jacques is new. Oh! Woo! Shout out. Shout out to at Bold as Bronze. Yo, somebody hit me up yesterday and was like, yo, you like are acting like this is a test that you're cramming for tomorrow. And I was like, hit me some eight, right, which was true. I was like, oh, damn, I meant to do this 2 days ago.
Yeah, well, you know, we had to set Jack out to pasture and evolve the show a little bit.
He's been banned.
Yeah, he's been banned.
His official House of Horse banned.
We'll see if he comes back tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe he will be. Chances are that he will and is. But, yes, let's move on. And I am thrilled for us to be joined in our third seat. A guest that you and I both love, the Zeit Gang, has come to know and love. Listeners of your show have come to know and love. The actor, the comedian, the energetic man himself, Mr. Behzad Dabu.
Hi. I gotta do one. I'm gonna improvise one. Down by the Behzad. Sitting on the dock of the Behzad.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, y'all have songs.
Who is that?
Sitting on the dock.
I mean, I know the song. I'm saying, you gotta say who it is.
Sitting on the morning sun.
It's Otis Redding.
He was a big man.
You know, when you look at those photos of him, he's a gigantic man. Yeah. Well, look,
I'm just sitting here in this chair, everybody's singing songs, introducing themselves, and I was like, Behzad Dabu.
And I am Behzad. We will get to know you a little bit better, Behzad, but first, we got to let people know what we do on the Daily Zeitgeist. You know, we just taking the temperature of the global consciousness. No, the national consciousness, because sometimes they get mad when we say global. And sometimes we do capture the global consciousness. But yeah, we do everything. We look at social media. We look at articles. We look at box office reports and things of that nature to make sure that we're giving you the most up-to-date stories that we think are important. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're bad. But keep in mind, this is a second-rate podcast. And so today we're going to be looking at a couple things like, you know, Megyn Kelly. Apparently she just found out that blackface was bad.
Just found out.
Yeah, she just found out.
12 hours ago.
Exactly. Very important announcement for McDonald's fans out there. I don't want to say what it is quite yet, but if you like McDonald's and you fuck with the breakfast, hold on to your butts.
And boy, does your boy fuck with McDonald's.
I'm excited about this because I also fuck with McDonald's.
Well, everyone does. Then we're going to talk about someone taking the president's words very seriously and starting to send explosive packages around to some of Trump's political critics and enemies. That is getting like a pretty hot story. Some more disinformation around the migrant caravan. We'll get an update on that WWE event in Saudi Arabia and talk about a few other things that will get your attention. But first,
I'm excited to talk about all those things.
Mr. Bezod.
Yeah.
Friend of Jacquees. You're from Chicago, right?
Long time friend. We've been friends for over 12
2005
years
we met.
Oh, this worked out
13 years?
Beautifully.
I'm not from Chicago, but I lived in Chicago for 10 years. I'm actually from upstate New York.
There you go.
Syracuse.
All right, well, let's get to know you, Bezod.
Okay.
What is something from your search history that lets us know a little bit more about who you is?
Who you is?
Oh, wow. I'm going to click my Google search.
We got to know.
I looked up. I would have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm gonna just list my last
okay,
five.
Okay, sure.
Ramona Singer Trump, because somebody told me that Ramona Singer from Real Housewives of either Beverly Hills or Orange County.
No, Ramona's from New York.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Ramona's from New York.
You know Miles knows.
That's right.
I fuck with Roni. Yeah. I fuck with Roni.
No, I actually watch a lot of the Real Housewives. Yeah. But yeah, Ramona Singer, someone told me was like a Trump supporter, so I Googled that because I wanted to make sure that was true. Then I Googled Disney makeup Aladdin because I heard that the Walt Disney. Did you guys hear about this?
No.
That like Disney was accused that on their set of their of Aladdin right now, they have a bunch of white extras putting on brownface in the back. And when they got called out, they said there was like hundreds of people and they only did it to 20. And,
only.
And Cal Penn, who tweeted about it, who's not involved in the movie, but Cal Penn was like, but why 20 at all? Because there's literally Bollywood that has like 5 million brown actors. Like, go hire them.
Yeah. Another thing, they're like, oh, well, some of these people have special skills. Like, they ride horses and things like that. And they're like, oh, because brown people don't ride fucking horses.
Yeah, brown people don't ride horses. Okay.
Then I Googled. They just found out that brownface
is bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I Googled was last night, actually about like 6 or I said late night cafes to write in. I was at Bourgeois Pig last night till like 3 in the morning.
Oh,
oh
wow.
Why?
What are you working on?
I'm
anti-government manifesto?
Please don't do that. Ethically ambiguous already got me in trouble. I said all kinds of shit. No, I am creating content right now. I am trying to bring an Indian American family story to television because surprisingly that's never been done.
Yeah.
We have the success of Crazy Rich Asians and Black Panther and Blackish and all these things, but the Indian American story or the Middle Eastern American story has never actually really been told in a real way. We have some of these characters sometimes, but usually it involves them marrying white people and then getting their perspective.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to tell like that Indian American story. We often see the Indian story, like saris and accents and arranged marriages and all that, but we don't get to see like an honest, true telling. So I'm currently creating that. I'm pitching it. I have a writing partner. I have producers, and it's a lot of work. I'm surprised any TV show ever gets to TV with how much work it is and how much like fires there are to put out. But last night, I just...
You went off.
I can't work at home. I can't write at home, rather.
Gotcha. Oh, too many distractions.
I just end up listening to music, laying in my couch, falling asleep. I'll do it tomorrow. You know,
watching NBA
highlights.
Watching
NBA highlights, exactly right. I got to sit and like feel like I'm in a place.
Wait, so why were you searching Ramona Singer? Because I obviously, when I look at Ramona, I was like, yo, she is one of those can I speak to the manager type white women.
And is she like a John and K plus 8 type mom? I don't know.
She's old. She doesn't have that hairstyle, but her energy is like this New York woman who sort of is really condescending all the time. But
That's really good. Oh my God. That is
turtle
a really
time.
Good.
Her like Ramona Turtle Singer. Time vibe is like, ugh. When I see her, I'm like, ugh.
That's a really good Ramona Singer. I watch a lot of Real Housewives and not like religiously, but I'll catch episodes. And someone had said on Twitter, something about like, oh, I know what it was. Trump had just done that thing about the trans thing. He had like try to erase trans from the definition or whatever. And someone had said, "Are you happy, Ramona?" Like, happy Ramona Singer on Twitter. And I was like, oh, I was like, did Ramona like support that? So that's what I was Googling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did she?
So apparently one of the housewives, I forget which one, is like a huge Hillary supporter and had a Hillary like dinner. Uh-huh. Like one of those like, you know, fancy dinners where they do
like a fundraising dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And didn't invite Ramona. Mm-hmm. And when they asked her later, like, why didn't you invite Ramona? And she was like, let's just say Ramona wouldn't have come. Mm. And that, like, sort of started it. And then, like, Ramona, when they asked, Andy straight up asked, like, Andy, whatever his name is, straight up asked, like, who did you vote for? And Ramona pled the fifth. And I was like, you plead the fifth, that means you voted for Trump.
Yeah.
Plead the fifth means you voted for Trump.
Unless she voted for Gary Johnson.
Which is voted for Trump, right?
Which is voted for Trump, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Bezod, what is something that you think is overrated?
New Year's Eve.
Okay.
New Year's Eve is so overrated.
You mean just the gravitas?
The pomp and circumstance of New Year's Eve. The $300 dinners, they're basically a flute of champagne. I've never had fun on New Year's. The idea that we're supposed to have like the greatest night of our lives to bring in the new year, but like technically today is the new year. You know what I'm saying? Like,
technically today is the first day of the new year. Right. The rest of your life.
What new year?
Like, you know what I'm saying? I just think it's so.
What
funny.
If yesterday was the first day of my new year? What's today then? Is today the second?
I don't know if I've ever had fun on New Year's Eve. I seriously.
Wait, well, what kind? What you're describing, like the shitty over the top ones, which I would never go to, where it's like pay $400 to have all you can drink.
I feel like there's nothing else ever
getting
to
fucked
do.
Up at your house.
Yeah, so then
yelling at the TV.
You gotta be alone. But I'm a dude who's been single on New Year's for the last like 6 years. Yeah. So it's like you don't want to just sit alone.
Watch other people make out.
There's sort of like a pressure to do something to like have fun.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And like I agree with you. Like, so if you don't want to do the fancy, spend $300 on a dinner with a champagne flute, and no one wants to.
Reckless.
But I feel like every restaurant closes for that. Like, I feel like there's nothing else you can do.
Yeah, you gotta have to have friends who are doing parties.
I was gonna say you gotta have friends who are doing parties.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never had a good New Year's either, but well, I had one a few years ago. UCB threw a free party for all their members.
Okay,
and it was also the last one they threw because some shit went down because it was free alcohol all night long.
Oh, it got
fucking wild.
It went into the wilderness.
It
as
went.
We say.
Let's just say some people lost their time's up pins. And it was like. Okay. We can't do this anymore.
Yeah, there's like there's so much pressure on New Year's. It's like you got to get a kiss at New Year's.
Yeah,
you got to get
what
dressed.
It is, dude.
And then in Chicago, I remember. I think you were already out here. You've been out here a lot longer than me, but in Chicago, New Year's is often like a terrible weather day.
It's cold,
right?
And there's all these people, we get dressed up in suits and we get like, you know, dresses. I remember, I'll tell you one. I'm gonna throw them under the bus because I think, I don't know, I don't think they ever ran their shit well anyway. There's a theater called Red Moon Theater Company in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And Red Moon had this big blast, like this huge like gathering at their warehouse space in a neighborhood called Pilsen in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And
which are also some nice ass places.
And they had this huge warehouse. And so they have this like party, and of course everyone's Ubering or Zipcaring, because in Chicago, you know, it ain't like car culture. So everyone's getting down there and we're all dressed up for this bash, and we all have heavy jackets and sweaters and gloves and hats and scarves. They didn't have a coat check. They didn't have no.
How dare you?
No, but real talk, like, that's actually a thing because.
Right.
Where do you. There was 2,000 people in there with nowhere to put coats.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It's
many
a warehouse.
People.
I mean,
wow, yeah. It, okay.
The warehouses in that neighborhood are. They're party spaces.
Right. I know it sounds crazy, but like.
Well, I'm just showing my LA ass because I don't wear jackets.
But
so,
like, where do you put 2,000 jackets?
Yeah.
I mean, that's. Yeah, dude, you just find
I'm going
the couch.
Through 2,000 pockets.
But the thing, it's a warehouse. There's a warehouse. So now you have, and I remember this because I was with like this woman who had this like really nice, like I had a top coat on with my suit. Yeah. Like we're all dressed up. I'm not putting my top coat on the ground in a warehouse with snowy, slushy shoes. Like I was just like, New Year's sucks.
Yeah, get your shit together.
Right. Everyone's now. Holding their jackets all night.
What is, in Indian culture, what's New Year's like?
Well, it depends on the religion. So India has like so many religions. So I'm Zoroastrian. Zoroastrian New Year's in August. It's called Khordat Sal Mubarak, which is actually, it's funny. Our New Year is like the birth of our prophet. And then there's something in like Iranian Zoroastrian culture. It's Pateti Mubarak or Navroz Mubarak. And so that's in August, I think. I don't know. And then there is Hindu has Diwali, which is coming up.
Yeah.
And then Islam has their own. And I don't want to speak on it because I don't know when it is.
But what's the vibe? Like, is it? It's just more. It's not as like.
It's more ceremonial.
It's about getting together with your family and things like that.
It's more ceremonial because it's more religious.
Yeah, like, it's more religious. Yeah. Like our New Year's here in America is just the turn of the calendar year.
Exactly. Off your face.
Yeah, whereas a lot of other New Year's is,
has religious aspects.
Yeah, this is the rebirth of our spiritual beings and all that.
Yeah, Japan is kind of like that too. Especially, there's more of an emphasis of like, yo, for the first like week, just don't do shit. Like you cook all this food and just keep it chilling at the house so you don't have to leave and just watch TV all day.
Right.
And they do the most of the wild Japanese specials you see when you're like, look at this Japanese game show. It's usually around New Year's when they put them those shits out because everybody's at home.
Right.
So I love
the idea of going to watch the ball drop in Times Square live sounds so miserable to me. You got to get there at like 2 p.m., right, to get a spot that's not in a side street and chill there for 10 hours in the freezing cold in New York as it gets more and more and more and more crap. What if you have to pee?
Piss yourself.
Pee on yourself. Yeah.
Piss yourself.
It just haven't we talked
terrible.
About that before?
We piss ourselves. We piss ourselves at concerts.
We piss ourselves at concerts.
Are you serious?
Well, it depends. Well, look, you know, some shows are too big and you're too close to the stage. You're not going to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, some shows you don't want to go to the bathroom.
You just piss yourself and smell like ass the rest of the time?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yo, I would not be comfortable.
I didn't piss myself. I pissed in the cup.
I went to the.
Oh, okay. That's better.
Ali and AJ from the Disney Channel. I went to one of their shows at the House of Blues, pissed myself there. Dope show. Bezod, what's something that's underrated?
What's underrated is that in good songs, I don't mean like hip-hop R&B. I mean like more like rock and roll, 90s kind of like alternative music. In good songs, the drums are underrated.
Oh, wow. People don't give enough respect to the drums.
That's such a specific thing.
I guess what I'm trying to say in a way that I don't know how to say it is that like the drums can really make or break a song.
Oh, 100, the rhythm section itself. The foundation.
But like I'm thinking of like certain so I used to play the drums in high school. I was never really good, but like as I listen for rhythm a lot, and like a lot of times there's like what the drums could do is like the bare minimum. They hold the rhythm, right?
Right.
They play 4/4 time. They keep the time every 4 to 8 measures. They fill in a little and call it a day.
Raccoon king king. Yeah.
But then there's some drummers that are like creative.
Yeah.
Like the drummer for No Doubt, Carter Buford, the drummer for Dave Matthews Band. Like drummers that are creative and they do things that are like, oh,
I did not think you would call out those two bands off top to be like creative drummers. Like from No Doubt.
I can give you examples of those, but they do things that are like, it's not that they're hard or difficult.
No, yeah.
Any like eighth grade drummer could do them, but it's creative. It's the idea. And I was like if you think Crash Into Me is like Dave Matthews Band's biggest song, they got that cool snare kind of like march happening in the back. 9 out of 10 bands would just have like, you got the your song, ball, you got your chat, and this guy's like, it's like this march happening in the back, and it's dope, and it makes the song great.
Yeah.
And No Doubt, listen to Sunday Morning, there's parts where the drummer could just be holding it, but he's like fucking with time, like bop, bop, like syncopating things for no reason in like a normal rock song where most drummers would just like hold time.
Right.
See, I feel like more people care about the guitar, and then also the piano.
Yeah, for sure.
But, and you said this. In hip-hop, though, it is about the drums.
For sure.
Oh, so, for me, when I hear that, I'm like, dude, all we care about is the drums.
Right, exactly.
Because that is, there's the Chappelle sketch where
that's why I said it's underrated.
They come in with the guitar and like all the people in the barbershop are just sitting there and then he hit the drums.
Yeah, and then everybody
starts dancing. Oh, I haven't seen that one. I gotta see
that. You've never seen that sketch?
No. It sounds like it's right up my alley.
I mean, you think about tracks like Grinding by the Clips. Wait, the whole beat was just the drums.
I mean,
drums.
Oh man,
that snap! A lot of people don't catch that.
So I feel like with the drums things, I agree with you. It's underrated, but
and back
in
that
certain
ass
communities,
up, and back that ass up, Juvenile. People miss at the very end. There's a cowbell.
Oh really?
And it's dope.
Okay.
It's like, girl, you look good once you back that ass. I'm used to find it, and it's like, bong bong ba bong, ba bong 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 ba bong. Ba-bong,
little
bong,
cowbell bong, action, ba-bong. Huh? Okay.
It's in the back. You got next time you listen to Back That Ass Up, you're going to pick
me. Put your headphones on. For different reasons, All right, what's a myth?
I don't want to get too deep down in the sports thing, but these are both going to be sports things.
Okay.
Basketball things specifically. Two-parter.
Okay.
Part one, when people try to tell me that college basketball or college teams play harder, play smarter, work better, the best college team could beat the worst NBA. That is such
garbage nonsense. It's not true. Mm-hmm. When people say to me like, oh, in college they play defense, in the NBA they don't. Yeah, right. And then when they say things like, oh, well, in college they're playing for the right reasons, and in the NBA they're just playing for money. No, in college they're playing to get to the NBA to make money.
To get money, yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? Like,
Half of them kids don't want to even be in
college. And the ones that are going to the NBA are already getting paid. Right.
All right, well, let's get into the stories of the day. Yesterday we were talking a little bit about Megyn Kelly's super fire take on blackface.
Ooh.
I'm like, wait, how is that racist?
What?
Maybe she just really likes Diana Ross. Well, another Real Housewife, where actually that was Luann
de Lesseps.
Yeah. And
the
she was like, I don't get it. And then, come Wednesday morning, she had to kind of explain herself, because I think the internet was like, I'm sorry, this is not 1902. I guess we have to explain to you what's going on with blackface. So she started her show off today with a very, very heart-wrenching apology.
Mm. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Megyn Kelly, and I want to begin with two words. I'm sorry. You may have heard that yesterday we had a discussion here about political correctness and Halloween costumes. And that conversation turned to whether it is ever okay for a person of one race to dress up as another. A black person making their face lighter or a white person making theirs darker make a costume complete. I defended the idea, saying as long as it was respectful and part of a Halloween costume, it seemed okay. Well, I was wrong, and I am sorry. One of the great parts of sitting in this chair each day is getting to discuss different points of view. Sometimes I talk and sometimes I listen. And yesterday I learned. I learned that given the history of blackface being used in awful ways by racists in this country,
racists,
it is not okay.
Okay, just stop this. Just stop it.
Racists.
She said, I learned yesterday.
I learned yesterday.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get
time traveling with Bill Russell?
White crack ass out of here. Like, you know what was mad? Well, you know what? You know what pissed me off? When she led with.
Black people
putting
like
on white face.
Oh, yeah. Like, come after Marlon and Sean Wayans for white girls.
You're leading with that.
That's not what we're talking about.
I have a lot to say about this because I do a lot. I think I might have mentioned this in the last one, but I'm a founding member of a group called the Chicago Inclusion Project. And what we do is seek to level the playing field for women and people of color and LGBTQ on the stages in Chicago. I was doing that when I was living there. And we get a lot of messages about people putting brown face on in their productions of Bollywood Pippin or Aladdin or Anything Goes with the two Asians. They do this all the time. And it's like, a lot of times the other side will say, well, acting is acting. It's just makeup. They got to look like the person. Acting is acting. And I'm like, that's true if we don't have a history in this country where black and brown people could not tell their stories. So white people were creating stories about black people and then playing those black people by putting blackface and denying them the ability to tell their own stories. That horrible minstrel show racist history of movies like Birth of a Nation is why we can't have blackface now, because there's context there. If for 300 years, every judge, every control of the media, every police officer, every president, if we have 44 straight black presidents over the course of 300 years, and there was a time where we enslaved white people, then in 2522, I'm willing to hear you talk about why black people shouldn't have a white face.
Well, yeah, and I think just missing the whole mark of how blackface is just about the dehumanization of people of color, like just missing that point entirely and just being like,
dude,
hey, if you like Diana Ross, like what's the problem?
Right, yeah, if you like, because that's the thing. If you go watch black, I don't think enough people have watched those old blackface clips.
Birth of a Nation is disgusting.
Even more than that, I was watching a couple clips today, and not only did they put on blackface, and you were saying they couldn't tell their stories, those weren't their stories either.
Right.
They were, you know, they were, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and eat some fried chicken and put my toes in the dirt. And
you sound like a robocall in Arkansas.
Actually, worse than that, it was even like, I can't not rape these white women.
Yeah,
it's like, I can't not steal shit.
Yeah.
It was like worse than that. And we're about to see it. I mean, today's the 24th. So starting this week, we're going to see all kinds of like white kids at fraternities doing gangster parties and being thugs for Halloween and doing all that kind of stuff. And like the thing is like, oh, you want to put on that culture for a day and then take it off.
Oh, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the convenience you have.
Yeah. Why don't you keep that blackface on and drive around town?
Yeah.
And then get pulled over by a white cop.
Go to Compton.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you want to like be able to like experience the culture for a day in the way you think you can and then like take off the skin.
Well,
like people of color
can't.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's I think that's missing the point of that the ability to just be like, and then I can resume my privilege while I just have fun.
Taking care of a baby while it's laughing and then giving it back to its mom when it's crying.
As soon as it's crying.
Yeah. I hate that shit.
I would do that.
All right, well, we'll talk a little bit more about your parenting after this break.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
And we're back, and gosh, I think something big is happening in the news. I can't quite put my finger on it.
Apparently, what is it?
Well, the Secret Service had intercepted some explosive devices that were addressed to the Obamas, the Clintons, the CNN studios in New York, and they say these are nearly identical devices to the ones that was mailed to George Soros, the liberal boogeyman that the right loves to portray all the time. And then this list kind of got longer. So in the last few days, suspicious, potentially explosive packages had been sent to those people, in addition to ex-CIA Director John Brennan, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's the ex-DNC chair, ex-Attorney General Eric Holder, Kamala Harris, Maxine Waters, just to name many. And wow,
they went to Kamala and Maxine as well.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm trying to think how, like, what's the connect? Like, what do all these things have in common? And I couldn't quite figure it out. And I was like, wait a second, that's right. These are all people who are on the receiving end of the president's violent rhetoric about attacking his enemies, political enemies, his locker up rhetoric when it comes to Hillary Clinton, his journalists are the enemy of the people rhetoric. And
this
now
Obama is not American rhetoric.
We're seeing this play out because, again, people are like, oh, well, he's just that's what he says. That's what he says. They're just words. They're just words. But guess what? These words have a direct impact on people. And there's clearly someone or a group of people who have clearly taken his words to heart because now they're acting on it in potentially violent ways. I mean, luckily, no one was hurt. And you still wonder, I mean, like, the people I named are probably, like, the front row of Trump's, like, hater team. Mm-hmm. But there are so many other people who have been on the receiving end of that, that you wonder, like, how many other people could be at risk and what this campaign.
People like Jemele Hill and Colin Kaepernick don't have Secret Service either.
Well, here's the thing to the other people, right, is, for instance, Ted Cruz ran this political ad today where he's walking through a grocery store. And people are yelling at him like, get out of here, we don't like you, blah, 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 blah. And then he ends it with Texas tough, right? And there's this whole rhetoric and dialogue about, you know, the Democrats and the left.
Yeah,
they're
the violent
just yelling
left.
Us, the violent left. And the flip side to that, like, that's what y'all want to worry about? Fine. If y'all can't take some people saying, hey, we don't want you in our restaurant, that's violent
office.
To you,
yeah.
Fine. The flip side that we have to worry about is people taking our lives. And that is what the flip side is. Whether it is people killing black people because on the train stations, or people sending bombs to Democrats and people who...
Or getting hit by a car at a protest.
Or getting hit by cars.
Oh,
and
right.
that... And the fact that that is not even something that they are willing to talk about.
Well, they know. That's their shame. That's the whole shame of this whole game.
The KKK said they were going to burn crosses in black districts on the way to voting.
Right.
Yeah.
And I got two things to that. One is, like, I was on Twitter looking about this in a little morning, just looking at responses from people. And what's crazy about the far right to me is that there wasn't like a, hey, we obviously disagree with these people, but we shouldn't be throwing bombs to them. It was immediate jump to conspiracy theories, and it was like the Dems are doing this on purpose to make it look like mm-hmm. we're doing it, which means that they're trying to get out the vote because they're trying to suppress the vote for our side. I was like, you're just jumping to a conspiracy theory that some Democratic person is doing this to, like, it's a conspiracy theory. And it's like, why is the far right so prone to conspiracy theories? Pizzagate and shit like that.
Well,
like,
I think they're unable to own the flaws of some of the people that support them, and all of the platform that they're built on is just built on hatred. And
one senator even said this is probably a Dem who's doing this.
It's not
Dems.
Even it's not a it is a conspiracy theory, but that's not the root of it. The root of it is the fact that they don't want to have the real conversation. Like, oh yeah, the Dems are doing this, instead of, no, we are creating this rhetoric and this,
you have responsibility.
This platform.
There's blood on your hands.
Well, there's blood on our hands.
Yeah. Right. That's why you'll never hear pundits on the right, even on Fox News. They're like, they were at first like, okay, we'll look into this. And sometimes, like on Drudge, they were saying like, oh, the White House even got sent one to try and make it seem like, hey, everybody was getting it.
Yeah.
But that was debunked, or at least they were saying that report wasn't actually verified. When you look at some of the conservative pundits now in the aftermath of all these explosive devices showing up, they're saying shit like this is an Antifa false flag attack, or that this is like all the other fake hate crimes that they say that the right is behind. And like, and they'll be like, and they're all fake, just so you know. And then even Rush Limbaugh is out here doing the same thing, too, of saying like this is a fake attack, or just saying like, of course, they're doing this to make us look bad because they're trying to drum up support for midterms. How
ridiculous.
Like, I mean, that is just the height of absurdity.
It's a disregard for life. Nobody's saying when a Democrat yells at or somebody on the left yells at a public office person at a restaurant, they're not saying, oh, that's staged, because that doesn't affect life. That affects comfort, right? Mm-hmm. And this threatening to kill people, that affects life.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care about that. It's about power. It's about money. It's about staying in office. It's about
fear.
It's about fear of being second. And that is the problem.
Well, yeah. Now they're making that existential threat of lost status is now turning into them creating an existential threat of like violence to their lives now. And that's the entire game plan, which is, like you say, the people who are morally outraged, who are expressing their moral outrage at policies, they're weaponizing that to say they're violent.
Yeah.
See what they're doing to us, without acknowledging what provoked this moral outrage. And another thing, too, is that's now just being like, okay, we need to vilify and dehumanize our political rivals to begin for people to even seeing them as not human, which leads to behavior like this where they're like, oh, well, I'm willing to make an attempt to harm or injure somebody because this is the diet I'm on, the rhetoric I'm consuming all the time. And I really feel like, you know, places like Fox and, you know, other middle of the, or not that other Fox is middle of the road, and, you know, more centrist news outlets really have to begin analyzing what the president's words like have been on a continuum and looking at that and say, this is how we're getting here. Because all he's feeding his base is, hey, you know, we got to lock her up, or, you know, these people, they're animals, we got to do something about them. Yeah, when you say that over and over,
they got to call lies. They're going to get ideas. They're not calling lies lies. They're saying president claims. Like, no, you know it's a lie.
Yeah.
So you got to say president lies. President lies, because that's what he did. He lied. So when president says this and this and this happens and they're all lies, the media keeps saying president makes this claim. No, he lied. Yeah. Say that he lied. And I want to bring this up. It's kind of different, but kind of the same. You brought up Ted Cruz. This thing's been on my mind so much. I can't understand like the blatant hypocrisy that just gets. Ted and Trump right now are on this like campaign to make fun of how Beto's name is not actually Beto.
Right.
When his name is Raphael.
Yeah. But Ted's name is Raphael, and he goes by Ted.
Right.
To sound more Texas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how you can be at a Ted Cruz rally and cheer for the line where Ted Cruz makes fun of Beto you going by a nickname.
Well,
I can't understand it. How can you cheer for that and not go, oh, well, the guy we're watching is doing the same thing?
Yeah. Right. Well, here's the thing with that, and it goes to even connected to this with the violence and that. It's a one side or the other thing, right? If we do it, it's okay. If you do it, it's wrong type thing, right? Mm-hmm. So if you do it, if you change your name, you're doing it for nefarious reasons. If I do it, I'm doing it for love and because I want to relate and all this stuff like that. The same with, you know, Donald Trump and the far right saying, oh, if they yell in our faces, they're violent left. They're the violent left. But then at a rally last week, when the journalist body slammed somebody, wasn't that great? Hey, oh, you don't want to wrestle him.
Right.
You know, because if we do it, it's for a reason. That's for patriotism and country.
Yeah, that
love.
Was back in 2016 when Greg Gianforte body slammed that guy.
Yeah, but he talked.
Yeah,
Trump
he brought
talked
it up
about
to be like, I like that guy.
Exactly. Yeah. But if we yell in your face, we're violent.
Well, again, it's because they have to absolve themselves of any guilt.
Yeah.
Or any responsibility in this. It's always like, I don't know what's going on. They're wilding out. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing my thing. And again, this sort of vilification and fear campaign that they use to just sort of unify their base, it bleeds into also this migrant caravan that's coming up through Central America in Mexico towards the U.S. border.
Filled with MS-13.
Yeah, where, again, it's the same tactics where it's trying to obscure what the reality is to the point to begin to see these people as not human beings, but as violent people who are hell-bent on your destruction.
As a Middle Eastern and brown person and Indian person, it bothers me that even the left is saying things that they're trying to defend, but it's just like insidious racism. Like I saw a lot of things today that were like, even when they're saying, oh, there's clearly no Middle Easterners in that thing.
Right.
It's like a disparaging term. It's like,
as if, yeah, like it's,
it
yeah.
would be, like, it's like no Trump. There's
coded
no,
language.
There's no Middle Easterners coming in.
Terrorists.
And then I saw one that was like, why is everyone so mad that this migrant caravan is coming in? They're the ones that are going to cut your lawns and clean your dishes and do your thing. And I'm like,
or they can teach your kids.
Yeah, and I was like, I get your point, but that's pretty insidiously racist as well.
Yeah.
That like,
well, you know, the amount of, like you're saying, like one of the claims has been that it's filled with Middle Eastern people coming in here and ISIS members who are part of this caravan because they're doing like a Trojan horse type thing. And again, that all came out of the Guatemalan president last week just said, oh, we arrested like 100 people who we saw were connected with ISIS. That was before like this caravan story started to like gain traction. And that was, but that claim was totally unfounded and unverified.
Of course.
But again, they heard this person, they said, oh, well, okay, Guatemala said ISIS, that means people are coming from Guatemala. Okay, we can lump that
Why
together
are we
and conflate the stories.
Like ISIS needs to come through Mexico. The 9/11 hijackers had passports from Saudi Arabia. I don't understand why they flew here.
Right.
They got on airplanes and they flew here from your ally country, Mr. Trump.
Sure.
Saudi Arabia, that's the country you love so much. And how come when we did the whole Muslim, like that whole, what's it called, where they like blacked out certain countries of Muslim people to come here? Saudi Arabia was not on that list.
Yeah, of course
not. Not on that list. And they had 16 out of the 18 hijackers. So what are you talking about? Like, they flew here. They don't need to come in here
to
Mexico.
But we can't get too outraged by this because this is such a predictable game plan.
Yeah.
It's just, you know,
it's not surprising.
We can sit here and poke holes in the logic of all their arguments all day because everything is illogical and only appeals to people's just base fears and just it's the worst in people. Yeah. And again, and we have to, and the problem is, right, that these shitty misinformation, like this misinformation campaign or these lies, they, because they gain traction with the right, other media outlets have to report on them because so many people are talking about it that it begins to like lend an air of credibility to it, because CNN has to be like, well, they're saying there's ice and that's not true. And sadly, it pulls the coverage in totally a direction that is completely ridiculous. Like, again, even Pence, like 2 days ago, said, oh, I spoke to the Honduran president. And he said basically that this was being funded by the Venezuelans and organized by leftist groups. Now, the organizer of the caravan is a former Honduran lawmaker, Bartolo Fuentes. And he's like, yo, this has nothing to do with Venezuela, because let me tell you something. The Honduran president, he can't be real about why people are leaving at a rate of like 300 a day. It's because of the rampant violence and corruption that's happening under his watch. And you think he's going to be there and be like, hey, I'm a shitty president, so everybody wants to get the fuck out. And the U.S. government is propping me up because there are military installations here. Like, that's why it's so clear why then you just have to pivot to, okay, let's make this thing look as evil as possible so people can just hop on board with the xenophobic agenda and obscure the fact that these are human beings who are fleeing their countries. You don't, I doubt any of these people want to leave, especially if there was an, if their countries were stable. I don't think they were like, oh, I would love to leave my home.
Yeah. I would love to leave my family.
The situation is it's untenable. And we're not like, I guess on the right, they don't even acknowledge that sort of basic human urge to, you know, avoid pain and seek prosperity.
It's the fear thing, you know? It is.
Yeah, so.
Let's care about, you know, this is why you need us in office, because we can protect you from this. But I don't want to say there's nothing to protect us from, because there are obviously things to protect us from in this world.
Like white guys, white guys with guns.
Or people sending motherfucking bombs to people in the
Let's worry about that.
Well, again, and that's why the other reason, too,
like the police.
You have people on the right, like Rush Limbaugh, like he's like, well, this had to have been the Democrats. And his argument was, because our people don't do stuff like that. And you're like, okay, so y'all are in full on delusion.
Who shot up those churches in South Carolina?
Right. Who shot up Las Vegas?
I mean, look, this is, again, this is what happens when they begin to see their power slip a little bit, and you have to do everything you can to try and
I mean, you know, look, I get it. I get it. You know, I used to play a little basketball, based on how we played basketball before. And, you know, back when I found out my jump shot was slipping a little bit.
I started
mailing people bombs.
You know, and then before we started playing, you know, I would be talking up a game like, ha, y'all want this jumper, man. Ha, I jump 11 feet, you know, knowing I can't jump.
Right, right.
And just so people would think like, oh, let's keep him out the paint. Let's, you know, and
trying to add to the perception.
To add to the perception.
Well, look, we'll see. Maybe we'll have to see you on the court.
Yeah, smallest dogs bark the loudest. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, again, you know, this is just all the year of our Lord 2018 and things that are happening. Another thing I want to talk about is, I don't know if you guys get wild fucking amounts of robocalls or just that you get the scam likely show up on your phone.
And mine's the worst because, you know, they call from your area code?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my area code's New York. I live in LA now. It's 3 hours. So they're calling me at 7 a.m. thinking it's 10.
Oh, really?
And I'm like,
they can get in trouble for that.
Well, no, because they think it's 10.
But they're because still supposed to do it based on your area.
But my area code's 315.
That's right.
So they're like, it's 10. I'm like, nah, I'm in LA. It's 7. I hate you.
Right.
The reason
I bring this up is that there was like a study done of like robocalling, and it is up like nearly double from last year, like the amount of calls people get, whether it's for political stuff or like reminders for things.
Mine's like insurance on my back or something.
Well, see, that's where the other ones come in, where it's like they're just finesse scams where they're trying to be like, you owe the IRS $9,000. Yeah. Give us gift cards to pay off your debt.
Yep.
Or other ones would be like, we want to save you on a new solar thing investment. Yeah. So I get so many to the point that, like, if you listen to the show, I'm sure there are times you can hear my phone go off, and usually it's a fucking robocall. But they were putting it in the context. So right now, there was a record of 4.4 billion robocalls received in September. So that breaks down to 1,700 robocalls a second, okay, or 147 million calls per day.
There's only 300 million Americans.
Yeah.
That means they're calling people multiple times.
Yeah, they got
That's
you.
Crazy.
We did this on Culture Kings, where I picked up the phone and called them back and did a whole segment about talking to the IRS. Yeah. It is wild. just yeah. how
some of those scams operate.
How some of those scares operate and how obvious it is.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. They're usually preying on like elderly people who don't have the savvy to question like the technology or the methodology.
I always know it's an Indian dude because they say my name correctly.
Oh really?
They'd be like, "May I speak to Mr. Behzad Dabu?" And I'm like, "Oh, you're calling from Gujarat. Like,
what's going on?
You are not calling from Kentucky." What? Because if it's like Behzad, no, they're like, "Hello, I'd like to speak to Mr. Behzad Dabu." And I'm like, "Oh, wow,
what's good?" But they also did analysis of like the areas that are getting the most calls, and some make sense, like they're bigger areas like LA and New York, but then other ones are like Atlanta has by far the most robocalls. In terms of like area code stats, 404 is the hottest area code for robocalls, which is so weird. I think it's ludicrous. Literally, yeah, it's ludicrous.
They call for all them hoes in the area code.
Yeah, he was like 404. Matter of fact, 315.
214-678.
Matter of fact, 301.
But this 301 call Maryland.
Too much.
You know, like, I think for Atlanta, it could make sense because there's a huge governor's race there, and there could be money pouring in for, like, elections. Then Dallas and Houston, that could also be because elections are very important in that state. But then it starts to trickle down, and then you see, like, Miami, also another big state going on with governor race. Then it's L.A., New York, Dallas. But you can, like, look up your area code just to see how litty your area code is.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, people are getting...
Every single one of those cities has a lot of English as a second language, too.
Yeah.
Miami, a lot of ESL. And I think you might be able to get someone with ESL. And I don't understand. And IRS is calling me.
Yeah, because the share of it is it's basically payment reminders are 22%. Then like telemarketing is about 20% someone to sell you something. Scams are 40%.
Yeah. Woo!
So it's mostly the scams.
And their lies be too big, man. Their lies be too... First of all, I hate what I
they're
hate
coming
about
to
it.
Arrest you.
Yeah, they're coming to arrest you.
Oh shit!
And I called back, and it was like, "You owe us $940 million or $1,000." I was like, "Come on, man! I haven't even made that much money in my life."
Right.
Like, that lie is too big. Yeah. That lie is too big for me to even. Right.
So yeah, your papers are wrong.
Didn't they say something to you like, "Bring cash, but also give us your bank account"? So
bring cash, but can you give us your bank account now so we can check you have the money?
Yeah, well, I don't.
Yeah, I was like, this is ridiculous. Also, you know what I hate? I hate that they use your own area code because I'm a paranoid dude.
Yeah, I think it's my mom. And I think it's my
mom
dad.
Or so, or the hospital calling and saying, yo, somebody's dead right now.
Yeah, and sometimes I do answer my area code and it is something I you know, like, hey, this is, one time my mother's office had called because they wanted to surprise her for her birthday. If I thought that was a robocall, I wouldn't have had that. Like, my mom's office called me.
Get an email, man. Don't be calling people. That shit is scary. Yeah,
I agree.
Get an email.
We're in a world that if you call me, I think something happened.
Yeah, don't nobody call people anymore. Yeah. So if you call me, I'm thinking, like, somebody is fell
you
off.
You think the worst,
The 15th floor of a building.
I was on a date a couple days ago, and
it
was like 10 p.m.
And, oh, shit. Ooh, a 10 p.m. date?
It was at 10 p.m., and I got a call from a Chicago friend. Mm. And she called, and I was like, I think I gotta answer this. So I answered it. And she goes, "Hey, hon, what's up?" And just like, you know, shooting the shit. And I was like, "Oh,
who was it?
I can't answer this. I can't talk right now." And she goes, "Oh, well, why'd you answer?" I was like, "Cause you called."
Right.
I answered because you called. Like, I thought you were dead. Like, you
I thought you had something.
But if you had nothing to talk about, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Was somebody I know?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
It was just a regular shoot the shit call.
Well, hold on. You can get messy after the break.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
And we're back, and hold on to your Macs, as in McDonald's, and that was a shitty segue into this next
story. Hold on to your Donald's, y'all.
Because McDonald's breakfast is coming for those arteries. They just have announced they're beefing up the breakfast selection. Now, I don't know about, I think we all realized as we were talking about the story that we love McDonald's breakfast. I would give up regular McDonald's. I could eat McDonald's breakfast. That hands down, if I had to choose between the two, I have. Picking breakfast. How long have you?
When I moved to LA in October 2012, on the way here, I got a double cheeseburger, and that was the last time I've had McDonald's
regular menu. Wow.
I've only done their breakfast.
Well, you're gonna love this because this is now they're basically dropping something called the triple breakfast stacks.
Hallelujah!
Now, when you look at these photos, I'm telling, they look like double cheeseburgers. They say, now this is from McDonald's, the triple breakfast stacks come with two slices of melty American cheese between two savory hot sausage patties. They're topped with crispy, thick-cut bacon and an egg. Guests can opt for their choice of a toasted McMuffin bun, biscuit, or sweet and savory McGriddle cakes. Now, apparently, this was all born out of customers on their own just hacking the menu and being like, just let me stack these on my own because the sandwiches aren't enough. Similar to the McSurf and Turf, which I've brought up on the show.
Wait, what is that?
Oh, that's where you get a Filet-O-Fish sandwich and a double quarter pounder with cheese, and you put the fish patty in between the double quarter pounder, and there's your McSurf and Turf.
Wait, the person has to order both and do that themselves, or they do it?
No, you have to order. They don't. Sometimes they'll oblige you. I've been to one where they would be like, okay, I can make you a McSurf and Turf.
What neighborhood?
This is in North Hollywood.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you're not going to get that in like Sherman Oaks.
Yeah,
like that
makes
sense. Other times,
is Sherman Oaks bougie?
I mean, I grew up here. It can the Sherman
be.
Oaks McDonald's.
I was about to say, I think bougie, I think like Calabasas.
Well, I guess relative to me being a Valley scum kid, like going to North Hollywood, I'm like, oh, Sherman Oaks is the closest, nicer place.
Wait,
but
so
anyway.
what's the hierarchy of the Valley?
The hierarchy of the Valley?
Is it like...
There is none. I'm from the Valley and I just hate all this fucking Valley hater shit.
But is it like Reseda is worse than Encino, is worse than Van Nuys, is worse than Studio City, is worse than Glendale?
Like the more affluent areas of the Valley are like your Encinos, Calabasas, parts of Woodland Hills. I mean, there's also parts of Woodland Hills that are a little less...
Is Studio City considered the Valley?
Studio City is a very nice part of the Valley, too.
Glendale, too.
Yeah, Glendale's got
Burbank,
nice parts.
The Bank.
Yeah, Burbank, very conservative, and basically half-owned and ran by Disney, that entire city.
Hey.
But yeah, I mean, like, there's everything else, to me, like, it's all Valley to me.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess, yeah, like, just think of this. If it's in the hills near the Valley, those are typically the
nice
parts.
But do people in the Valley, are they like... Like, people, if you live in Reseda, are you like, fuck Van Nuys. If you live in Van Nuys, are you like, screw Studio City?
I mean, people might based off their high school, but I grew up partying all over the valley, so I was never like, I'm not going to Van Nuys. I'm like, is there a fucking party there? Like, let's go.
Got it.
Okay. Anyway, so yes. Bottom line,
are you loving this though? Are you loving this?
I'm ba-da-ba-ba-ba having diarrhea to this menu because
when is this releasing? When is this did it say when this is releasing?
I think it's soon.
Okay.
It's upon us.
When this releases, let's both get one.
Oh yeah.
And let's do a review on one of our shows.
I mean, fine. So we could do it right now. Let me figure out when it.
Yeah.
I did a McDonald's commercial a couple years ago, a Chicken McNuggets commercial. If you guys want to YouTube it, it's called Chicken McNuggets A to Z.
I thought it was the buttermilk chicken sandwich.
I did that too.
Oh, okay.
But I did this one, which was it's called Chicken McNuggets A to Z. And it was like, when you're eating Chicken McNuggets with friends, you have to create an order so that everyone gets a fair share. So you have to start with Alex, then go to Brian. Then go to, you know what I mean?
Right,
like, and
right.
I would grow up. It was like, but today your friend William cannot go by Bob.
Wow.
That was the commercial.
Or Bill.
So I was doing the commercial and we shot all day and they were like, we have a spit bucket for you. And I was just eating chicken nuggets all day long. And they're like, we have a spit bucket for you. And I'm like, I don't need that spit bucket.
Right.
I was like, I eat chicken nuggets all day long. So I just kept eating them. And then they go, all right, we're breaking for lunch. So we break for lunch. I'm full as hell off like 40 chicken McNuggets. They had this amazing catered, like, lobster, shrimp, like, steak meal. And I couldn't eat any of it because I had eaten 40 chicken McNuggets all day.
He was being stupid. That's why they got the spit bucket,
man. And they
were
all like, we had a spit bucket. And I was, like, just watching people, like, eat crab legs and, like, lobster bisque. And I'm like, oh.
I'm filled with chicken products.
Yeah, man. That's a commercial rookie mistake. Yeah. Right there, man.
Pink goo.
You knew.
I've had that before, too. I was chewing. I did a seafood commercial. And I don't eat seafood anyway, so I would have spit it out anyway. Yeah. But, man, every bite, right in that bucket. Every bite, right in that bucket, dude.
Well, the triple stack breakfast, it will come out November 1st.
Everywhere?
So get ready. Yeah.
Everywhere?
That's a week?
Well, I mean, that's when they say. I'd imagine.
But that doesn't mean just like prime locations.
I figure they already have the ingredients. All they got to be is like, yo, just throw a fucking other patty on this shit and bake it.
You know, do you know how they determine when they're doing the McRib?
Mm-mm.
Well, first of all, it's not a chain-wide thing. You can do, like, an owner of a McDonald's can say, I want to do the McRib whenever they want. Like, franchise owners can do that. But it's literally based on the price of chicken versus the price of pork. So when the price of chickens go up for whatever reason, then they go like, oh, we got the McRib is back.
Right.
Because they can, like, buy more pork because usually the price of chicken and pork are inverse to each other.
Okay, so they're looking into pork futures and chicken futures. Good to know. All right, well, let's move on to another thing.
Should we?
Yes, I think we should.
I love the Daily Zeitgeist. We've talked about like everything.
Talked at all.
Well, we talked about basketball, music. We talked about like.
Well, now we're about to talk about wrestling.
McDonald's.
We're about to talk about wrestling.
Because last week.
I don't know nothing about
it. I think
wrestling.
It was last week. Our guest, Danielle Redford, was on, and she is a huge wrestling fan. And as the Jamal Khashoggi thing was going down with his murder.
Bless you.
We were asking. Yeah, thank you. We were asking about, you know, like the WWE doing a lot of events there and what the future is like. And at first, we were asking her as a fan what she thought. But, Jaquez, you're saying like now there's more and more is happening.
More and more is happening. Yeah, it's been a crazy week for the WWE. So they have Crown Jewel coming up, which is in Saudi.
Okay.
That's the event. That's the pay-per-view. And WWE has a 10-year, multi-million dollar deal with Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
And they had one earlier this year, Greatest Royal Rumble. This one was this year, right? And then the whole thing started happening. They started getting pressure. So the first thing they did was they stopped mentioning that it was in Saudi Arabia. Because they had already started running the propaganda commercials like, the beautiful Saudi Arabia, the ever progressive, and then that stopped.
Oh, so the now, commercial's just like, hey, Crown Jewel coming soon.
Exactly.
Without the word Saudi Arabia.
Because there used to be where it was going to be at. Saudi Arabia was in the title. And now on programming, they have not mentioned it at all, right?
Okay.
So that was the first step. Tickets were supposed to go on sale last week. Tickets are not on sale yet. John Cena has pulled out. John Cena is the biggest star WWE
and
has.
He looked foolish at the last event when he was thanking everybody.
Yeah.
The kingdom. He's like, thank you so much for this beautiful country of freedom. And you're like, ooh.
Because he's the face of the company.
Yeah.
Because he's the face of the company.
Yeah,
so
he's
a movie star too. Yeah. So you get John Cena saying that, that's a big deal. But you get John Cena pulling out saying, I'm not going there.
Right.
That's a big deal. Daniel Bryan is another wrestler who pulled out, who is one of the biggest stars and in the championship match.
okay.
Crown Jewel. So
the Crown Jewel of the Crown Jewel.
He is literally in one of the marquee matches of the event, and he's pulling out. And then also this week, and you know, I can't go too far without saying this, the biggest star in the company right now, Roman Reigns, who just announced on Monday Night Raw that he has leukemia, which is very sad. So shout out to Roman Reigns. But obviously, he can't go for obvious reasons, and he was in the other championship match. So all of that together, plus they're getting pressure from the U.S. government.
Right.
They're getting pressure from businesses who do things with WWE. And John Cena, Daniel Bryan, they have the stock to say, I'm not going, and let it be known in the news. But other wrestlers are also saying, like, I don't want to go either.
Well, that's good.
The wrestlers are starting to pull out. Yeah. And rumor is today, or within the next couple of days, that an announcement is coming. They are looking for new cities. They're they're either going to cancel it altogether, or they're looking for new cities, possibly in the USA. New York City was one of the things. It's so crazy how important money is.
Yeah.
This deal shouldn't have been made in the first place, but it is.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about that. We can't talk about the past. But, yeah, dude, I hope they pull out of it.
I think like, eventually, all the optics around this, it's just going to be too much, and it's going to be radioactive for them. But
I mean, word on the street is this is about to be canceled.
Well, you know what another word on the street is?
What?
The Titanic is about to come back.
Titanic 2, I saw that shit.
Titanic 2, starring Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet and
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling this time. But no,
there'll be Timothy Chalamet.
This Australian guy who's behind the project, at first it stalled out a little bit, but now he's come back and said, yo, the maiden voyage is happening 2022, going from, not the original maiden voyage, going from Southampton, England to New York, but from Dubai to New York.
How are you not going to trace it exactly? If you're going to do it, you got to trace it exactly.
I think they probably have more people interested to pay the money to do that from there, I'd imagine. And it's a
longer trip. Fly them from Dubai to Southampton. You got to do it exact.
Well, they will. After the maiden voyage, then you will be able to do the actual voyage. Okay.
Are they not doing... the actual original route in this maiden voyage?
The maiden voyage, no, because, I mean, I don't know. It would probably be wildly inefficient to go from Dubai and then try and go up to...
I feel like you got to fly everybody from Dubai. You got to do the thing, and then where they hit the iceberg, you got to stop. You got to do a moment of silence. You got to have, like, a reenactment. Iceberg!
Oh, you want it like that?
Right ahead.
That would be dope.
Yeah, because
I would fuck with that.
We watch reenactments of the Civil War, and that shit, 100,000 people died.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit, a few details before we talk about how we can turn this trip up. So the new ship is essentially, it's an identical copy. It's like a fucking to scale replica of the original Titanic, which sank in 1912, as we all know. But this time, they're obviously upgrading a little bit. Like, the hull itself will be welded together to avoid any damage. Yeah. And obviously modern, like, navigation, radar equipment, things like that. But they will have, like, first, second, and third class tickets you can buy. So I'm curious if, like, there really is, like, a legit steerage area where
Leonardo DiCaprio was.
Yeah, and you go down, like, the wild European immigrants are playing violin. And you're like, yo, this is way better than the stuffy tuxedo up top.
They got to period piece it. You got to.
You kind of have to. You got to have that one van where Kate Winslet's hand went up.
Or I'm just going to go on a regular-ass cruise. If you're not going to period piece it, then what's the point?
So would you go, first of all? And if you were gonna go, would you create yourself a backstory and say, my name is... whatever, I'm coming from
Italy. I'm not into
Italy
all that, like, cosplay type of stuff, but I'll say this. If I had buckets of money, why not? I'm not against it.
Sure.
I'm not against going. Like, I never really did the, like, dress up as a thing and do a thing, but I would do it, and I can see the market, but I don't understand the point of it if it's not going to period piece it, because otherwise you're just on a carnival cruise.
Well, I'm sure the people will be dressed, like, the same or whatever.
Yeah, but
I want the chandeliers to look like that.
They are. It will.
Everything inside will look exactly the same, even that staircase from the movie
you got to do the exact route. And then at the spot where it sank, you got to, like, stop there and have, like, a moment of silence.
Sure.
You got to, like...
have the dude scream iceberg right ahead.
You have the iceberg right ahead.
You got to have some dude fall from the top of the boat.
Hit that rudder.
Flip a couple times.
Oh, yeah. You got ragdoll.
That is the most iconic part of that movie.
Yo, I laughed.
Not the Leo spread. Not the basketball court size thing.
Hell,
she was on a plank the size of a basketball court. Not that.
Right.
But just the dunk, and then he goes the other way.
Yeah.
My aunt was so mad when I laughed at that in the theater. Because
oh, really?
I was when that movie came out, I was like 12 or 13, so I was bored as hell.
Right.
But when that movie, when that part happened, I'm the only one in the theater laughing, and my aunt was like, stop laughing.
Right.
It was funny.
Have some respect.
Me and you are cruise people.
I love a cruise.
We're cruise people.
I will go on the fucking Titanic.
I would go on this.
And that shit could sink too, because they added more lifeboats.
They added more lifeboats. So I kind of want it to sink.
Damn.
If we do, I'm going to look in the underground and steer as I'm going to look for that old couple that's holding each other as the water rushes through.
Yeah.
That part fucked me up. I'm not going to lie.
You know what else I'm going to look for? If it does hit another iceberg and sinks, I want to see if the crew or those people playing the music actually will stay this time.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that Steve Harvey bit. He was like, you know the band was white. He was like, no black band would keep playing while the ship's like, he said, cool in the gang would be unplugging shit. He goes, the band played on while the ship sank.
It was an honor playing with you
gentlemen
tonight.
I would have been off that boat. I would have been off that boat. I would have took Kate Winslet and Leonardo off that damn door and swam my ass to shore.
He said that they would have turned over the dining room table, kicked off a leg, used it as a rower, had a dinner napkin blowing in it like a sail.
Very funny, dude.
That Steve Harvey bit is hilarious.
And, lastly, I just want to end on a heart warmer, or maybe it's not a heart warmer.
I don't know if it's
but
a heart warmer.
There was a picture on Twitter that kind of went viral of a little boy in Arizona who was at a pizza party, and he was the only damn kid at his own birthday.
Have you seen this picture, Bezat?
Let me see it.
Hold on. It's
that's poor.
It's like he's what, it's 8 funny. Years old or something. He's a young kid, and all you see is all these plates set up at like a Chuck E. Cheese type place. The pizza's trays are full. All the plates have not been disturbed at all, and you just see this kid with a look in his eyes that isn't that fucked up? It's almost a meme.
Yo,
of itself.
I don't feel bad at all. And I'm going to tell you why I don't feel bad at all. We always find out. We always feel bad for these people. Then we find out he's probably a bully. He's probably an asshole and nobody likes him.
Well, that's why
nobody showed up, because he's probably an asshole. And I don't know nothing about that kid. But we always feel bad for these people. And we go, actually, I found out.
It takes a lot of work to be the only motherfucker at your own birthday.
Yeah.
And but then, Jakees, you're saying that because of that video, some people did, you know. Did
so
hook him up because
they hooked him
bad.
Up. So not only
he's probably a bully,
he got hooked up. The Phoenix Suns saw it, and they offered him tickets to a Suns versus Lakers game.
That's going
coming up on Wednesday,
7 seconds or less.
Yeah, right. And then also he got tickets to a Phoenix soccer club
Phoenix
playoff
Rising,
game.
Right,
Phoenix Rising.
He'll be the only one there too.
He will be. He will be the only one there. Who watches soccer in Arizona?
In Phoenix. He'd be the only one at another event.
We're about to get so many people like, actually, I watch soccer
actually,
all the
time. It's
too damn hot to play
soccer.
Sport
in the world. It's the most popular sport in the world.
Well, it is.
See, we were talking about this. I think it's so easy.
Something's going on with the mom.
Yeah. This is a parents thing. This ain't a kids thing.
Of course.
This is a parents thing.
Oh, Big Little Lies in Phoenix.
You said it was kindergarten, right? He's in kindergarten or something?
He's in kindergarten.
Yeah, so how the fuck are you fucking, like, clearly, the parents are like, yo, that mom is...
The invitation had the wrong date on it. He, early to his own birth, the invitation probably had the wrong date
or,
on it.
Or the other thing is, why take a photo of your child in their saddest moment like that and then post that shit?
Because you were going to get Phoenix Suns tickets.
Right. Exactly. But that's where these things always begin to fall apart, where first you're like, oh, that's dope. But just like much like there was that other kid who was getting bullied like, and his video went viral of him crying and his mom was just like, videoing him,
that,
and then we turned out she had some interesting, problematic Facebook posts.
Exactly.
There's always someone, you always have to look at the parents and be like, are you
exploiting
your child's
pain? Maybe that kid and the mom personally had the birthday at the same time and day as another person's birthday, and all the other parents banded together and was like, well, we're going to go to the original birthday, and we're all gonna, you know what I mean? It's all some Big Little Lies shit, but the Phoenix version, so it's a little like Chuck E. Cheesy instead of, you know.
Yeah, going to the Philharmonic or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly, that's what I think it is. And
there's something more.
This ain't gonna help the kid.
Of course not.
They gonna beat his ass when he gets to school.
Like, they be like, oh,
you got to go to a
snitch.
Lakers game? Yeah. You snitch? Snitches. five knuckles.
These kindergartners all got finstas. They're all gonna destroy him on finsta.
Yeah,
God,
dude.
Thank God there was no social media when we were kids. All right, well, Beza, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me,
for
guys.
For joining
me
today.
Jakees,
thank you so much for helping me host this damn
thing.
Can
I say one thing?
Well, Yeah, sure.
Or would order.
I'll get to you. Okay. You can say your piece.
Okay.
But Bayzat, where can people find you and follow you, support you?
My Instagram and my Twitter are the same, but I'm gonna spell it for you because my name. Ooh, that
wow,
rock.
Look at
bars,
you.
Baby.
Oh, that's
bars.
Your AKA.
Yeah.
That's your AKA.
It's at BEHZADDABU. Bayzat.boo. And that's Instagram. And Twitter, on my Instagram, you'll find a lot of lip sync videos and funny videos of me in the car. And on Twitter, you'll see my political takes, hot takes.
There you go. There you go.
You're just in Chicago recently, too.
Is there a tweet that you like, Bayzat, that you want to call out, let people know? Something you like, you mess with?
Yeah. Yo.
Get it.
Oh, my God. I got to read it. It was so funny. It was this tweet I saw. This tweet is from a tag called ArtFucker1996.
Okay.
So it has the Charles Bukowski quote.
Okay.
And the Charles Bukowski quote is, "People run from the rain but sit in bathtubs full of water."
Wow.
Okay. And then underneath it, ArtFucker1996 says, "Wow, Bukowski, so profound. Do you also bathe fully clothed, you dickhead? Oh, isn't it funny that a person will eat when they're hungry but will duck if you throw an apple at their face?"
Just tearing him apart.
I love that. Like, that quote makes no sense. You run from the rain because you're wearing clothes.
Yeah,
you
sit
in a bathtub full of water because you're not.
You know, people got to look deep. Got to peer deep.
So dumb. That's my favorite tweet.
What about you, Jakees? Time for you. Say your piece. Where can people find you, though, first?
As always, in these streets.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me in these streets. You can also find me at Jakees Neal on everything. I'm not going to tell you how to spell my name. Figure it out.
Okay, well, I was JACQUISNEAL.
Thank you, Miles. Thank you. But also, for those of you who don't know, I am on the podcast called Culture Kings right here on the How Stuff Works Network. For those of you who do know, and for those of you who are living in Los Angeles, we have Culture Kings Live coming up Friday at the UCB Sunset Theater. Guys, tickets are only
$7.
$7 is 10:30 at night. Let me tell you something. This ain't going to be just no podcast where we just sit in a couple of chairs and talk to you. We got some stand-up coming to open the show. We got two musical guests at our show. And you got me and your boy Edgar. You've heard Edgar on the pod before.
Yes, the low energy guy.
Low energy guy. We're going to bring it to you guys. Tickets are on sale right now. You got a quick turnaround. If you live in Los Angeles and you just want to come to a good show, forget just saying, you know, I want to listen to a podcast live. You just want to come to a good show.
Yes.
Come to it. Tickets on sale at UCBtheater.com. It is at the UCB Sunset Theater. Just follow the schedule. Follow all the links. Culture Kings Live, Friday, October 26, 2018, 10:30 p.m. And for all my Chicago people, I'm coming home November 29th, which is a Thursday, 1 week after Thanksgiving. Me and Edgar are bringing Culture Kings Live there as well. Daily Zeitgeist is going to be on it.
Where are you guys doing that? What venue?
Yeah,
Chicago Theater Works. We're coming, guys. November 29th is Culture Kings Live. Get tickets for that as well.
There you go.
Boom.
What's the tweet you like?
Tweet I like. All right. My tweet, the tweet that made me laugh so hard. So we all know LeBron is on the Lakers now, right?
Yes.
And LeBron and the Lakers just played the San Antonio Spurs. He missed two free throws, then missed the game winner. And Lakers Nation went off that night. It was the whole Kobe versus LeBron thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, NBA Twitter is one of the best Twitters.
Best Twitters
around.
Ever. Yep.
So somebody at Worldwide Wob.
Oh, that's
Worldwide.
Worldwide Wob is the best NBA.
Yeah.
He's NBA Twitter Hall of Fame.
So funny, dude. He made If Kobe Was in Attendance a GIF version. So he had LeBron shooting the free throw, missing it. And then you know that GIF of Kobe with his family walking off the court? Man, that shit.
That brought all the Kobe
me,
stand.
You guys know how I love Kobe and I love LeBron and I love the Lakers, but yeah. It's so funny because as a person who really knows, Kobe has missed so many free throws.
Oh,
to lose games.
Free throws, yeah.
That man has missed, and I love Kobe, but he has missed so many free throws.
People
to lose
only
game.
Remember when he busted his Achilles and took those free
exactly.
throws.
Exactly. That was like, Kobe would have never missed. I was like, well, like 20
Kobe
times
missed.
He missed free throws to lose regular season games, so.
Well,
that tweet got me, though.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet that I like is actually from Bridget over from Stuff Mom Never Told You at Bridget Marie. Ooh. She said, "There is no greater bliss than going out to dinner and telling the person you're with, I know the owner." And it's true. That feels like such a flex. If I even know the fucking bartender at a place, I'm like, yo, I know the bartender. I know him. I think we can get we can make this a double for free. yeah, you can find us at the Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We are at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We have a Facebook fan page. We got a website, thedailyzeitgeist.com, where we post all of the episodes and our footnotes. There you go. And also, you can check out, you know, all kinds of links and stuff in the show description. I'm not good at doing this part because usually Jack does, so bear with me. But yeah. Even more of our footnotes are also available in the show notes in the episode description, where we also link off to the song that we ride out on. Also, Zeitgang, I want to let you know that if you want to get that TeePublic merch, we have a very special promotion going on. You can get 30% off all of your Zeit gear.
I just saw them. The t-shirts are dope.
Yeah, you go, want a couple t-shirts. Just put in the promo code Zeitgang, yes, Zeitgangyes, and you can get 30% off all that swag-mente. And for the song we ride out on, super producer Anna Hosnier, what is the vibration we are riding on?
Hey, I completely forgot I was doing this. I'm thinking.
Thank you.
I grew up listening. Okay, I don't have my headphones on. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it was. He got you.
It's hilarious.
No, that's a classic Nick.
Uh huh.
Bomb drop.
Real Nick move.
Topical.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, so I grew up listening to Zion I. They're like, you know, my local band. I like calling them a band. So, you know, this song that's on their most recent album, which title I cannot remember off the top of my head for some reason, but this song is called Kale by Zion I. It's a great song, you know. It's a funny song because it's like Zion I comes into the new age and they're rapping about like kale. So, you know, it's one of those. What do you say? Your big toes?
It gets to rumping and a tumping, and yeah, it will make your big toe shoot up in your boot.
But ooh. Yeah, but and then the rest of your body will also be shooting up and down because it's a jammer.
Yeah, is that what they call it up in the East Bay?
It's a bop.
No.
It's a bop. Yeah.
It's not.
Does it slap?
It's a bopper.
Ah,
does it slap?
Yeah. Does it slap?
It's a slapping, bopping, jamming.
Rumping and tumping.
Rumping and tumping.
I can't wait to hear
tune.
It. I don't know this.
Kale by Zion I.
There you go. Well, fantastic. And so peep that, listen to that, and we'll see you tomorrow because it's a daily show. Later.
Oh my God. I've been on my jail. I'm moving back and forth, stacking green like kale. With squad, don't get KO. Turn the line, what we need, make mail. Oh my God. I've been on my jail.
Zeitgang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.